Okay, so lovely afternoon here in the Lion District Cottage Garden Society summer show. And it's very nice to actually get to meet in front of the radio gardener, Jean Griffin. Hello, Jean.
Yes, I mean, all we do is meet over, a computer, really, isn't
we
it?
We do. But, you know, this is kind of nice, isn't it? I mean, look, what's the temperature out there now, do you reckon?
I've no idea. I really haven't.
Right, it's got to be around about 80 degrees, I guess. It's pretty warm.
I would think it was, It's pretty warm. That's in old money. What's it in new money, then?
Oh, around about 25, 26.
Oh, and a bit more, I reckon. Yeah, 27, 28, I reckon.
If anybody's got the official temperature, let us know, please, and we'll tell it.
Oh, the gentleman sitting opposite me, who has come to ask me a question, actually.
It is 30, apparently.
Yeah, well, there you are, yeah. You see.
So there
30.
You go.
I thought it was. So, anyway, here we are.
Here we are. And you've got...
Face-to-face.
Face-to-face. And you've got Ron here. We're gonna get these good people to actually ask us some questions.
Okay.
Well, you, more importantly, because I can't do anything.
Come on round.
Much at all. But, yeah, if you are on the showground right now and you have a question for the Radio Gardener, please do come over to the Susie Radio Stand and... So Jeannie's here for a while to answer your questions. And first up this afternoon is Ron. He's got the silver fox written on his T-shirt. I'm not quite sure why. He looks a bit of a silver fox. He's a singer. Okay. Well, you're not going to sing your question, are you?
I'm not singing a question. No. Not going to sing one, no.
Okay. Well, what's your question for Jean then?
The question is, I have three apple trees at home in three pots. They've been in pots for probably 5 years now. And last year they produced a lot of fruit. This year, whether it's the weather or not, I don't know. I've watered them copiously. Over the past fortnight or so, they've gone absolutely downhill, brown leaves the lot, and the apples have dropped off. And I'm wondering, should I say goodbye apple trees after 5 years? Should I cut them right back and replace them, or should I let them go as they are?
Well, the first thing to think about is remember that they are in pots. Right. Apple trees like a nice cool root run, and in a pot they're not going to get that. So that's the first problem. Have you ever fed them as well as watered them?
Yeah.
You have fed them.
Fed them.
That's all right.
Slow-release fertiliser and Tomerite in the water.
Okay. One of the other things that you need to think about is where are they situated?
They're situated on a east-facing garage wall.
Okay, and are they trained against the garage wall?
Yeah.
They are, okay. And so there's no way that you can actually put them into the ground, obviously.
I can move them to another part of the garden if I have to, yeah.
Is the garage wall brick?
Yeah.
Right. That's one of the other reasons, right? Because the brick absolutely absorbs the heat. And so that will actually push that back into, which is why you've actually lost, you know, your fruit and everything else. There's very little you can do about that in extreme weather like this. This is the problem. And it is extreme, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think it's going to get any better. I don't think it's going to go back now to whatever it was before. So you've got two choices, really. Really, you've got to move them or... The other thing is, of course, not only feeding them, but sometimes you would have to replenish the soil and the compost that's in there.
Yeah, I could do that, take the apple trees out from the pots, replenish the soil. But would you advise cutting them, you know, pruning them right back for nothing virtually?
Right. When I was at college, many years ago now, I was taught always to prune apples in the winter.
That's right, yeah.
Right, but the new thinking is that you prune in the winter to actually shape the plant that you want. But then you prune again in the summer to actually maintain that shape. And so I think that what you actually need to do is, I don't know how much growth is put on this year, not very much, presumably.
Not a lot of growth, no. Not a lot.
Okay. Well, in that case, I would actually just leave it alone.
Yeah.
Because there's not much point taking off an awful lot of wood, which you need to actually make those fruit spurs. So I would leave them like that, definitely.
Yeah.
Feed cool is the main thing. And one of the things that you could do if we get another summer like this is you could protect the pots, as you do in winter. where you protect the pots against the frost, you would actually protect against the heat.
So you don't advise me to sort of cut them back a little bit?
No.
Just
I wouldn't. I would just leave them now for next year. If you do too much cutting back, you might lose any fruit spurs that you've got.
Would you take them out of the pots and repot them and water them or something? Or
they've been in there, what, 5 years?
5 years, yeah.
How big are they? I mean,
Pots are... Right, 18 inches, quite big. Yeah. Deep.
On radio, you can't see what he's describing here.
No.
But it's good, really.
I would
think
in old money, they're about 2 foot tall and about 18 inches across.
Okay. They're probably just a little bit too small.
Yeah. Right, okay.
So I wouldn't bother too much. When you do that, just when you take them out, just look at the root system and see what it's like. But I don't do anything until about October, November anyway.
Right, okay, I'll do that.
That's apple trees, you see. That's apple trees. I didn't realise they started in pots, and I'm guessing the pot is getting bigger and bigger and probably time to actually get it into the ground fairly soon.
With apple trees, it's all a bit of a nightmare, really, because, you know, the majority of people, even if they're in the ground, don't bother to feed it.
No.
And my chairman here, who, if he's listening, it's Barry Lambert, he was saying that he has a very, very old Bramley apple tree. Very old one. And the other night, they were sitting there, and all of a sudden, there was this big bang, and a huge branch had actually fallen off.
Mm.
So, in the next week, they're going to be peeling apples that are there.
Yeah. Two of the apple trees are Cox's orange pippin, and one is a Bramley.
Okay.
So I'll leave them well alone. And
I would leave them well alone if you can in the autumn get a much bigger pot.
Yeah,
and
don't
forget, the plant will only grow in as good a compost as you're going to put it into.
Yeah.
So please don't look at something like a multi-purpose compost.
No.
Or even, believe it or not, some of these new peat-free composts. Mm. You can use the peat-free compost, but add lots of loam. Because that was where the water holding propensity is.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Lovely. Thank you very much.
Lovely.
Ron, hope you get some success with all of that.
If not, a bit of Tesco's. But
come back in a year's time and tell us, because I'm sure we'll be back here in a year's time doing this again. So come back and tell us how you've got on.
Will do. Thank you.
Okay.
Very much.
You're very welcome. You. That's Ron, the Silver Fox.
Lovely. Thank you, Ron.
When he's apple trees.
Taking bookies now for Christmas. Yeah.
Are you a local? Silver
Hawley,
Fox?
In Hawley.
Oh, you're Hawley. Oh, it's not very far away.
Down the road.
Yeah, so you listen to Susie Radio, obviously.
Oh, yes.
And you listen to BBC Surrey as well?
Of course.
Absolutely. Well, so on occasion you need to listen to me on BBC Radio Kent as well.
Oh, Radio Kent, wow.
Oh, Radio Kent, yes. That, every other week on Radio Kent.
I should turn my radio around to Radio Kent, yeah.
No, do it on the computer. It's much
easier. Once a month on Susie Radio as well. Don't forget that.
Oh, can't be better.
Yeah, once a month.
If you have any questions at all, you can always send them in and we'll always get them to us. Right. Now, also sitting down with us, we're just getting out of the shade, is Andrea. Afternoon, Andrea.
Good afternoon. My question is that I've got several different clematis in the garden.
Yep.
And I don't know whether they're ones, twos or threes and when I should prune them, as I don't know the difference.
Okay. I find that the RHS website is very difficult to read like that, where they've got group one, group two, group three. And so, as a rule of thumb, prune after they've flowered.
Right.
Right. So, have you got winter flowering ones as well?
No, I've got winter jasmine, but I haven't got clematis.
No. Okay. Winter jasmine has got... look at the little face behind me. Hello. Who are you?
Hang on. Let's go and
see. Who are you?
Hello.
No, he's gone away.
No, that nasty, little scary man.
A little chap here just staring at us through the lovely bright green netting. It won't move. You're all right. Yeah. So if you think of winter flowering clematis, right, they'll flower on wood which is made during the summer so that they flower for next year, right? And it's the opposite way around for the others. So sometimes you have to bite the bullet. And are yours really sort of huge and crawling all over the place? Or
one of them is. Three of them are fairly new.
Okay.
And they are now probably 3 or 4 foot high.
Yeah.
One of them it seemed to die off completely. I thought it had the wilt.
Yeah.
And I cut the base down and it's come back.
Come back up again. Right, give you a tip about the wilt. Right, you need to actually make sure that you take off all those leaves off the floor as well, because the wilt bacteria or the fungal problem that you've got there, when the spring rains come, it splashes it back up. So the spores go back up onto the green stuff.
Yes.
So very easy way, actually, is to get a very large pop bottle.
Yes.
Right. Cut the top off, cut the bottom off, slide down the side. Right, and wrap it around.
Wrap it around the bottom.
And sink it slightly into the ground if you can. And then when those spores actually splosh up, they go onto the plastic and not onto your nice new green growth that comes.
Lovely.
There. So if you just look at the clematis that you've got, mm-hmm. right, and thin it out rather than prune it.
Right.
Keep it under control. Mm-hmm. It will come back. I mean, I've got one which is called Polish Spirit, which goes right up into the trees and heaven knows what. And that's a summer flowering one.
Yes.
And after it's flowered, I cut it right back.
Right. So cut all of them back after they've flowered, whatever time of year.
I wouldn't cut all of them back. I would cut a third of them, because you want some of them to be flowering for you for next year. So if you cut everything off, then you probably might not get flowers for next year. So thin them out. And it's a rule of thumb for pruning anyway, that if you actually prune out, say, a hydrangea, for instance, right? If you go into the middle of that hydrangea and prune out that dead wood that's in the middle, mm-hmm. right? And you take a third of that dead wood out every year, or the old wood, then within 3 years you've got a brand new plant back because it's come from the base again.
Thank you very much indeed.
Okay, that's a pleasure. Thank you
Thank
for coming.
You.
Thank you, Andrew, and good luck in the garden.
Another gentleman has arrived.
I think we're sticking with the letter A for the moment we are, Jean.
Are we?
Yeah, because this is Alan.
Hello, Alan.
Alan has
Alan
a question
with
for us.
Two
before
L's.
You, before you go any further, Alan, Alan with two L's, even posher.
Posher.
Anybody else on the showground that would like to a question answered by Radio Gardener Jean Griffin, do pop over to the Susie Radio stand and, well, you get your answer and you'll get yourself on the radio as well. Alan, what's your question?
I've got two rhododendrons.
Okay.
In quite large pots, which I've been bringing on for a number of years, well, 2 or 3 years. But I'm a little bit troubled as to whether I may have overwatered them.
Okay.
And I'm getting the brown spots on the leaves, although it's still generating brand new shoots with lovely green shoots and leaves. And this year, it was exceptional in the amount of blossom that they had
right.
on both of them.
Okay.
No problem with the amount of blossom. It was fantastic.
Okay.
But I might have been a bit too enthusiastic, maybe, in overwatering to cause this brown leaf.
Yeah.
Problem.
And is the brown coming from the tip and down the sides?
More or less in the middle of the leaf, as
okay.
it were.
So, with your rhododendron pots,
yes.
are they on the ground or are they on the patio? Or?
On the patio. Well, one's on the patio and one is on grass.
Right, and one on the grass. Okay, I'm not quite so worried about. The one on the patio, have you got it raised?
No.
Right.
No.
That's one of the good things, actually, is to remember to actually raise it. Now, you can get those silly little pot feet things.
Yes.
That you can do that. I prefer something like a couple of bricks, a couple of house bricks. A, it's cheaper to go out and buy a couple of bricks rather than something fancy. But also, you've got more stability there, particularly if your rhododendrons are quite big.
They are quite, I should say, well, you know, a couple of foot diameter
okay.
now. Yes.
And when you water, do you feed at the same time?
Yes, I have every maybe 2 or 3 times. I did try giving them the proper azalea feed.
Okay.
And sometimes in between, I might give them the tomatorite feed.
Okay. Right. Not much point giving them tomato feed.
Oh, right.
Because that actually looks for fruit, that goes for fruit rather than flower.
Right.
So really what you're looking for is potassium. But anyway, what I would do with that, instead of saying, and this goes for more or less anything. So if you're looking at feeding something, why not feed half strength every single time you water? And then you don't have to remember, oh, Lord, blimey, it's Friday and I haven't done the feeding.
Right.
So if you do a half feed every time you water, the plant is much better off.
Right.
But it's getting that stuff. How long have they been in the pots, did you say?
That's probably 2 or 3 years, although I did a month or so ago, I did take them out of one size pot and increase the diameter of the pot, say 2 or 3 inches
right.
further around and underneath. A bigger pot with ericaceous compost on the bottom and round the edge.
Okay.
As advised, I believe, on one of the television shows. Yes.
Right. Now, have you left from the surface of the soil, and anybody who listens to me on radio knows that I'm passionate about this.
Yeah.
Right? Here we go. Have you left at least a 2-inch gap between the surface of the soil and the top of the pot?
It most probably is about that, yes.
Okay. So when you water, right, and before you repot anything, you need to stand that rhododendron or whatever, particularly rhododendrons and azaleas, in a bucket of water, right? Because that core unit, which is the big root ball, has probably it's used all its food up and all its water. So you need to revitalize that core root ball, first of all, right? When you water, do you use a sprinkler on a rose on the end of your hose pipe?
Just use the hose, the watering can, and put the water to the base around the bottom.
Absolutely fine. You're doing the right thing there. So you're not doing it all over the foliage.
No,
that's really good. Okay, I think you've may have underwatered rather than overwatered, mainly because, as I say, that root ball really, really needs to be wet when you repot anything. I would actually direct the spout of your watering can literally in the bottom so that it goes down into that original root ball.
Yeah, I do see the water coming out the bottom of the slots of the pot when I have done it.
Yeah, but that's that just tells me that the water's just gone straight through.
Yes.
Not into the middle. You could actually get over that by putting a saucer of water, there, sticking it in that and letting the plant absorb that water back up.
You don't think then that I've overwatered it?
I think it's more underwater.
Underwater.
Yeah.
Although I've been very generous in doing the watering.
Yeah, but what I would suggest is that because those roots have not penetrated into the new soil, then the water is probably going through the new soil right the way down.
Right.
And remember that ericaceous compost is peat-based.
Right.
And once peat dries out, you've got a devil's own job to actually get it back again.
Right. So.
Well, I hope that helps.
Yes, thank you very much.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Alan with two L's, by the way. Thank you very much. We are at the Lion District Cottage Garden Society Summer Show. And the committee here, you'd think they all know about gardening. Well, not quite the case, because one of their members has actually asked me this particular question. Blackberries. Fruit has brown, dry, dead patches on it. What's the cause?
Ah, now then, look at the sun. It's the weather.
Is that what it is?
You know, somebody on air said to me the other day, oh, you blame everything on the weather. You blame absolutely everything on the weather. And I said, well, it's exceptional this year, isn't it? You know, and so one problem with that, okay, is the fact that it rained really, really heavy. And then the sun came out. And that's what's happened to the blackberries. I've seen it happen time and time again. So the blackberries have got scorched. Now, a lady with a hat has appeared.
Another A. It's Annie.
Annie. Another A. Right, I'm not a good gardener, but I've got, or did have, a camellia in a big pot. And I've got 2 bay trees in the front garden in pots.
Yep.
And this year, I think the camellia's died. And it's all scorched leaves. They're just scorched leaves. The bay tree is half the leaves gone yellow, and I'm religiously watering them and using seaweed fertiliser and all this. Is that just the weather? Is there anything I can do to stop that?
I think that what sort of size pot have you got the camellia in?
Camellia's probably, what's that?
So it's about a biggish 18, one.
18 inches.
And what have you planted it in?
Just John Innes compost.
It is in a John Innes, yeah. Okay. When did you put it in there?
I've had it about 3 years.
Okay. And you feed it, obviously?
Yeah.
And is it sitting on the grass or on a patio? Or, and have you got it, as I said to Alan, is it raised off the ground?
It's sitting on soil. And since I've had it, I have moved it around the garden, you know, to
right,
try and...
Yeah,
didn't seem to thrive in the sun, so then I put it in the shade. But this year, it's just everything scorched and died.
Yeah. And have you done a thumbnail test on it?
No. What's that?
Right, a thumbnail test is if you go up to the branch and you run your thumbnail down it, and if it's green underneath, you're okay.
Uh-huh.
If it's brown underneath, it's dead.
That'd
or
be
dying.
Because it was a present.
It's as easy as that. Okay, so one of the things...
If it's green, what do I do?
I would actually, if it's really, really bad, is it? It just looks awful, does it?
Yeah, everything just looks, all the leaves just look scorched, brown, you know. Quite a lively brown. I mean, it's not a dead brown. It's sort of like beech leaf brown.
Okay. And are you sure that's... I mean, the whole plant is looking like that.
Mm. And yet it flowered in the spring, so it was all
right.
It
probably would do. I would say it is the weather.
Uh-huh.
I hate to say that, but, it, you know, everybody says, oh, the weather's just an excuse. It isn't an excuse, actually. Mm. It is actually... this is exceptional, isn't it? So one of the things that you could do in another year is actually, you know, as we protect against... We never had to do this, but if you protect against the ice and snow,
yes.
Why don't we protect against the sun?
Mm.
So you could do that with some fleece, exactly the same thing.
Right. Yeah.
But I would actually give it a prune.
I was going to ask you, is it safe to do that?
I would actually do that. I'd give it a prune because you would prune a camellia after it's flowered anyway. So if you needed to, so that would be all right.
Lovely. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Yes,
Annie, pleasure.
Annie, thank you for that.
Thank you, Annie.
Now, there we are. We've been wandering around the showground today, and who do we come across but a bit of a stray and a waif, really? Mark Carter, hello.
Hello, Tony. How are you?
I'm very well. It's good to see you, by the way.
It's very good. Can I ask my gardening question?
Well, I was going to ask you if you've got a gardening question.
Well, whenever I see Jean, I need to ask her questions, and
it's
a genuine question.
Mm-hmm.
So, when we moved into our house, in the front garden, we couldn't get anything to grow, and my mother-in-law recommended wild geraniums. Please don't ask me the type of wild geranium, but they're wild geraniums. And they look amazing for about 2 weeks, and then they just look hideous. And we have an ongoing argument between myself and my wife, one of many, where we think, should we get rid of these or not? And they look really straggly. Do you know what I mean? As soon as they flowered, they just look like a complete mess.
Chop them back?
Or dig them out?
As soon as they finish flowering, chop them right back, literally down to about an inch and a half.
Really, that much?
Yeah, and then they'll come back again. But you do need to water them after you've chopped them back. One of the other things that you could do there, of course, is to put in something like summer bulbs.
Right.
And so if you put those in between, then it wouldn't look quite so bad, would it?
That's the thing. We've got quite a nice, traditional, oldie-worldie front garden.
Yeah.
And they just look like a straggly mess at the moment.
Cut them back.
Okay.
I do that. Particularly, there's a really good variety called Roseanne,
right,
which is bright, bright blue, absolutely fantastic. And as soon as that's finished flowering, cut it back, and it comes back again for September.
Brilliant. My son's here. He's heard that. We can cut them back. Jean Griffin says
absolutely.
So.
William, what do you think about the gardening?
He does a good job gardening, but...
well said, William.
I don't know, much about gardening, though.
You're better than your sister, in fairness. He's more helpful than his
sister. Well, I'll tell you, he learnt a little something about insectivorous plants today, didn't you?
You did, yeah.
What are they called?
Insectivorous.
Plants are...
Not vegetarian.
I'm not vegetarian.
Very good.
Absolutely.
He's doing well.
That's the way to do it.
Lost me on that one completely.
I have no idea.
I'll talk to you about it later. Yeah, I'm sure you will. Mark, good to see you.
Lovely to see you both.
And enjoy the sunshine out
Thank
there
you.
Today.
It's gorgeous.
I would have thought, actually, you'd have been a lupin kind of guy, actually.
I do you know, all I do is I pick things. Jean would be so annoyed. I just see things. there's a stall over here today that's selling plants. And I've already said to my son, we are leaving with as many plants as we can carry. I just like things. I look at them and think, they'll be nice. It's the original. What's wrong with the scattergun approach, Jean? Come on.
The scattergun approach? Well, it's because, you know, you go in there and you say, oh, that looks nice. That looks nice. You don't bother about the soil. You don't bother about...
I don't.
You know.
I'm so bad.
What position are you in? You know, you're like your front garden. You've got the right plants. Tell your mother-in-law you've got the right plants in the right place for your front garden.
Oh, please don't encourage her. Honestly, please don't encourage my mother-in-law.
Listen, my wife is out here wandering around this showground at the moment, and she has a bit of a passion for plants and flowers and things, and I'm just wondering where she is and what she's buying now, because the garden is a bit overgrown as it is. Well, not overgrown, cluttered, I think, is the way to describe it. Is yours like that?
It's a bit like that, and I mean, at least I've been reassured today that the brown lawn will come back. It will be healthy again, so that's good. But look, I think you're getting more questions, so I need to make my way out of
here. Yeah.
Nice to see you both.
Thanks. And Mark, cheers, Mark. Thank you.
Just to say to Mark, thank you very much for coming here to Lie today and opening the show. And we hope to see you back next year.
We will be back.
Yeah. Good to see you, Mark. Cheers. Right. Now, joining us before we round this little session up is Rob.
From Rampant Rooster.
From where?
Rampant Rooster
from
Morris.
Rampant Rooster. Yes. Do you look like you're a Morris dancer of some description?
How did you guess?
No comment.
I'm looking at the badge up there, which looks like a Ministry of Sound thing, but it's not, is it? Customs and Excise.
Well, do you know, this is so funny to meet you actually here. I'm president of Lye Cottage Garden Society, and at our meetings, our treasurer, Douglas, actually said... what about having Morris men to come there? And we all said, yeah, that would be really nice. He said, well, I've contacted Rampant Roosters, and everybody fell about laughing. And it's not a funny thing, this Rampant Rooster lark, is it?
Sounds painful, actually.
Is it?
Yeah, it does. Rampant Roosters. I'm ducking. I'm getting out of the way. Rob, what are Rampant Roosters?
Anyway, I have a question for you, all right?
Absolutely. Gardening question.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to find out later, aren't I? I have an allotment.
Right.
A very good friend of mine just passed away. He has lots of asparagus growing in his allotment.
Okay.
Can it be transferred?
Yes, it can, but not until the autumn.
Ah. Unfortunately, the council will probably throw out by then and find somebody else in. So there's no way I can do it earlier before the council dig it all up. And
well, you've got to cut it down anyway.
Yep.
Fine. So my advice to you would be to water. To start with, how much time have you got left before you need to...
We're not sure. As long as we can try and put them off, but it could be quite a while, so...
If it's quite a while, that would be the best thing. But start watering now.
Yeah.
Right, and have you got mains water on site?
Yes, we have, yes.
Okay, so really, if I were you, I would water as much as you possibly can. And that means buckets of it over. Is it a big asparagus bed?
Yes, it is, yeah.
You're such a lucky man you are. I would give my eye teeth for those. Anyway, that's a by the by. So as much water as you possibly can, leave it as long as you possibly can, and then cut the fronds down, right down to the ground, literally down to about 2 to 3 inches.
Yeah.
Right. Then you've got to dig. That's going to be the hard job. That's why I'm saying water now.
Right.
So that the water really gets down, and it means watering twice, at least twice a week, if not more. As much water as you can put on.
Okay.
And then you stand a chance. Don't forget that they are they have spidery roots that go out. And so you need to dig about 9 inches away from where the crown is.
Yep.
And other than that, you should be absolutely fine. Where are you transferring them to? Your plot?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Yes.
Prepare the ground on your plot, first of all.
Okay.
The old original idea was to actually plant asparagus on the, and I plant strawberries like this on my allotment. You know the way that you mound potatoes up?
Yeah.
Do that. And so don't forget to actually feed that asparagus. So as much manure and everything that you can put in rather than chemicals.
Okay.
It's the structure of the soil, and I keep saying this to everybody. They must be fed up of me saying, it's the structure of the soil. It isn't what you put onto it. It's the structure.
Yeah.
And then you're getting water retention all the time.
Okay. We have two farms, both sides of us, with horses, and they barrow the manure in every day. I'm in your heaps up here somewhere.
Oh, good Lord. Can I come with a bag? Oh, fabulous. Whereabouts are you?
It's in Bookham. Great Bookham.
Oh, right. Yes. How lovely.
Yes. We're down on the common, which means that we get all the animals. We get everything that eats it. Hits us first.
And you get deer, I suppose.
Deer, yes. You name it, if it walks or flies.
Yeah. I bet they don't touch the asparagus, though, do they? I
haven't seen them, no.
No, it's interesting, isn't it? Oh, well, anyway, thank you for that. That's a very interesting question.
Right.
Thank you very much. Well, you know, you can always get me via Susie Radio, because I do once a month with Tony here, or I do BBC Radio Kent as well on a Sunday morning. So let me know how you get on. I'm fascinated. And if you ever have any crowns that you want to get rid of, let me know.
Okay.
Good luck with that, Rob. Thank you.
And we're dancing next, I think.
Okay. Yeah, we'll come and take a little look. Jean, lovely. I know you're... You're president of the society here, aren't you?
I am.
Is there some judging involved a bit later on?
No, I'm going to present the prizes later on.
Oh, is that 4 o'clock?
Oh, 4 o'clock.
Oh, you're handing out all the goodies, are you?
Well, yes.
I'll tell you what, we're actually situated right next door to the marquee with all of the bits in it. Right, okay. Looks rather fabulous, doesn't it?
Yeah, we need to go in and have a look to see who's won. And I've got some exhibits in there.
You have?
I have. I don't know whether...
What are you growing? What have you been growing and putting in here?
What have I put in there? Yeah. I've put in a flowering pot plant, a pot plant for foliage. I've put in some potatoes and some green beans and some tomatoes. I don't know what I've won. I haven't been to have a look.
Your garden's a bit busy, isn't it? And, of course, the golden rule, as we always know when we talk on the radio, is... water low down, get the roots
absolutely
to travel further down, which
absolutely
was something you were talking about, those trees, those apple trees a little earlier.
Yeah.
People needed to get that water further down because they're in pots.
And also, don't water as often. I mean, if you're at pots and things, it's different. But if you're planting something new, water it when you put it in and then forget it for about 10 days. Because if you keep giving water all the time, that plant isn't going to search for water. Therefore, its roots are going to stay in one place. So there you go.
Well, in front of you now, we have Sheila and Alicia.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Got the names right. That's brilliant from what I get from a whisper in the ear, isn't it, really? You've got a question for Jean.
Yes, I have. I've got a rather rampant rhododendron in my garden, which I love. But every time I try and trim it, I seem to trim all the flowers off for the following year. So never know quite when I can really have a go. And can I really hack it back?
You can hack it back, but you'll lose all the flower. That's the snag. What I would advise you to do would be to take a third out every year. Now, when you say that you prune it, do you prune it from the outside in?
Absolutely, yes.
Right, well, that's the wrong thing to do. Right? You need to go into the middle and take some of those bigger branches out. Right, and as I said earlier, if you take that out and you take a third out every year, within 3 years you've got new growth coming through, which is going to flower for you. Now, with the old dead heads that you've got on it, do you take those off or?
Well, I hadn't, but somebody had told me that you just need to take the heads off when it finishes flowering.
That's right. Well, when it finishes flowering, the flower's in the middle, and then when it finishes flowering, you'll get shoots on either side that come out. Have you noticed that?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. So you take the middle out.
Right.
That's
right.
All.
Okay.
You don't take the whole job lot off.
So at the moment, is it worth now, I mean, it's July, is it worth going in and going into the sort of centre of site to take the dead stuff
absolutely
out?
Absolutely. If you and some old wood as well. If you've got really old gnarly wood in there, take a few of those out.
All right, and while we're talking about old gnarly wood, sorry, can I
that's
just
all right
one more
now.
Question?
I was going to ask you a question.
You're not looking at Tony.
I was
going
to ask you because you were talking about hacking, and Jean, you were talking about pruning. So what are you, a pruner or a hacker?
I'm a hacker.
Okay, that's
because
fine.
I have no idea what I'm doing.
You're
so
like
it's,
me,
yeah, so
you're like me.
It's only when the following year it looks horrendous that I realise I haven't pruned it, I've hacked it.
Yeah.
So that's how I know the difference.
Okay.
I've also got, now I've no idea of this plant, but it's in my garden. And it's sort of in the spring, it would produce this beautiful little white flower, very much like a sort of a veil, a bride's veil. And it's been doing very well. Now, it's quite large. I think it's about 7-8 foot tall. But again, I can see I've got a lot of dead wood there, and I don't know, but some wood has got bits of leaves on it, but it looks pretty pathetic and sad.
Okay.
So would you recommend... I mean, I can go and get rid of the deadwood. I can see the deadwood really clearly yeah. now that the leaves are on it. But should I really go and, again, have a really good old... Shall we say hack? Can we say hack?
Yeah, we go. Let's we'll say, go with hack.
Let's
yeah.
say hack. Let's we, say I don't think I'll be pruning this thing. I think I will be hacking it. Yes. Can I give it a chop? Hack?
Chopping is
chopping
another one.
Chopping is yeah.
Yeah, is another yeah. one. Tell
That's
me.
Just a posh form of hacking.
Tell me, when you say it's like bridal wreath, does it hang over?
No, no. The branches go straight up, and the flowers come on as a straight up. So
leaves.
Yes, leaves.
What does it look like?
Quite small.
I think you've got a spirea.
Yes, probably that's what I've... But it is about 8 feet tall.
Yeah. You can take the height down if you want to. That's no problem.
Yeah.
You could just sort of hack it off halfway, yeah. halfway down.
Right.
Go into the middle and take out all that dead stuff that's in there, and then you'll find that it'll start to sprout from the base, which is what you want.
Yes, yes, I want that nice full bush that was
absolutely.
Once there.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because it looks very spindly and, yeah. and rather ugly. That's absolutely great. Thank you guys very much.
Jolly good.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah,
to you both
you'll have to have a
question.
And are you local as well?
We're Charwood.
Oh right, okay.
Oh, you were in the hot place the other day.
We were in the hottest place in all of England, wasn't it? About 12.
Yeah, 39.1 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Oh my word.
And I've got a question.
Come on then.
Go on.
So basically, recently we've got these like caterpillars going around our bushes, and they keep eating our bushes.
We've got them on our sprouts as well.
Do you
by
know
the way.
Any way to actually like get rid of them?
Well, it depends what they are.
What colour are they?
They're green, but they're not like normal caterpillars. They're different.
And what plants are they on?
They're just on a normal like green bush you normally get around like the trees and the woods sort of thing.
Yeah,
so.
You see, the thing is, if it was something like a cabbage white butterfly, then I would have no hesitation in saying get rid of them. The snag that I'm saying, because the whole thing at the moment is wildlife, 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 then you need to be careful that it's not a very special butterfly that you're yeah. getting rid of. So it's a difficult thing. Either yeah. you live with it.
Yeah, I mean, my dad had to cut it because it's just got too much.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
You know, I'm always very loath to say spray. I really am, yeah. because you just don't know what you're spraying. And you know, the ragwort, yeah. everybody doesn't like ragwort. But ragwort is the main feeding source for the cinnabar moth caterpillar. And so it's always wise to leave some of that around. If you haven't got horses and they're not, you know, you're not going to drop it on the floor and the horse is going to eat it and then pop off. But, yeah, so anyway, that was a good
Thank
question,
you.
Alicia.
Yeah.
Thank you
Thank
very
you
much.
Guys.
Indeed.
Thank you.
One of our
Enjoy.
Younger listeners there.
Enjoy your afternoon Thank at the show. Jean, we're just about done for now because
I think we have.
I think we've got to make way for some Morris dancing that's going to yeah. be going on. And I think
here they come. Look at them.
Go and, yeah, we're just
Bruce.
About coming come, out. Yeah.
Come and have a wiggle here.
Yeah.
Come a little. Come over here.
Come over here just for a minute. Let's get a sound of those bells, shall we? We are at the Lion District Cottage Garden Society Summit Show. I've got to say, big thank you to Jean Griffin for talking to us. And maybe, if we're lucky, we may well get some more questions a bit later on. For now, Jean, thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.